Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. We are continuing our sermon series called Walking with Jesus. And throughout this series, we are looking at some of the things that Jesus did in his life and his ministry. And throughout this series, the whole point is to see how Jesus is fully human, meaning that he had a life here. He had friends, he had family, he celebrated in the good times, he cried, you know, he made sure to fall to his knees in prayer, he had anger, he had hunger, he became tired, and it's so many things that we can relate to when we're looking at Jesus as he lived here. But we also get to see that Jesus is fully God. He has all authority, he has all power, he is all knowing, and we've looked at some miracles and amazing things that Jesus has done to show us that yes, he is also fully God. So this week, we're going to be looking at Jesus' new place, his home away from home. Last week, we looked at how Jesus was rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. Those people that he grew up with, the family, the friends, and the neighbors, they cannot believe that this is the Jesus that is going to be the Savior that God had promised would come. And after Jesus calls out the people of Nazareth, they decide the only rational thing to do is we want to kill him by throw him off a cliff. And so you really look into that. I'm telling you now, spoiler alert, he didn't get thrown off a cliff, if you haven't heard that story yet. But Jesus being who he is, he actually follows them up the hill that they want to throw him off of and kill him. And this reveals the hearts of the people and everything that Jesus said was right. It was true. Jesus quoting God's word was enough for people to hate him. But instead of being thrown off that cliff, Jesus kind of gives them one last look and he goes, yeah, you see, right? And he kind of just passes through the mob and he goes on his way. Well, this week, we're going to look at the new place that he goes. I'd love to be able to go through all the things that he does in this town. But like I said, this is Jesus' new home base. And so he does a lot in this town. So we're going to take a look at a few of the things that he did here and how he does all these amazing things that actually show us how we can relate to it today in our hometowns. And so we're going to turn to Mark 1, 21 through 39. So this is what it says. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. And verse 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So verse 21 tells us where Jesus went. It says he went to Capernaum. Now Capernaum is right off of the Sea of Galilee. Like I said, every single week, we're going to hear about the Sea of Galilee over and over and over again. And that's because that's where Jesus does a lot of his ministry. But Capernaum is about 40 miles northeast from Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. And what happens is the Sabbath comes. It's the day of rest. the day to honor God, and he goes into the synagogue. And if you heard last week's sermon, last time that this happened in his hometown where he went to speak in the synagogue, it did not go well. That's why they wanted to throw him off a cliff. But we see the reactions in Capernaum are a lot different. They do not have the same problems with what Jesus is saying. Verse 22 says, the people were amazed at his teaching, and he taught them as one who has authority. So what does this mean? This is kind of like a dig happening here at the teachers of the law. What's being said is that these priests, these teachers, these ministers of the time, the ones who were supposed to be giving the word of God, they had no power. They had no authority. They didn't even speak with conviction or that it was true. There was no passion. And they're saying, where is this that we need? And Jesus comes along and he starts preaching to them like they have never heard in their life. He came and he made the word of God real. He made it true and applicable to their lives. But the teaching was not all he did. A man was possessed by this impure spirit, and the spirit knows who Jesus is. He says, you are Jesus of Nazareth. And he asked Jesus a question. Have you come to destroy us? And then he says the most important part. He says, I know who you are. I know you are the Holy One of God. Even this impure spirit knows who Jesus is. This is not just the son of a carpenter. No, this is the Holy One. He knows this is God's son. He knows that Jesus has all the power and authority. And the impure spirit is actually afraid of Jesus. He says, are you going to destroy us? Are you going to kill us? Are you going to get rid of us? Because he knows that Jesus is the one that was foretold to come. And Jesus just kind of looks and goes, shush you. Stop talking. Actually, get out of that guy. You don't need to be here. And it just, boom, it happens. And it's awesome because Jesus is saying here right now, I know you know who I am, but these people, they're not ready to hear it, and it is not time. I need you to shut your mouth, demon. And he does. He shuts the mouth. And he says, no, get out of here. We're done with you. And then we get to the next group of verses, what Jesus does in verse 29 through 30. It says, they leave the synagogue and they go to the home of Simon and Andrew. And at their house, Simon's mother-in-law is sick in bed. And a lot of people right now in this world, in Ohio for sure, we understand running a fever, okay? There's been so much sickness right now. This is something a lot of us can relate to. Someone laying in bed with a fever. So Jesus goes there, and what we see is Jesus goes to Simon's mother-in-law, who's laying there ill, and all he does is walk over. He takes her hand, helps her up, and by the time she gets up, she's well. It's almost like Jesus was like, oh no, honey, we're not doing this. Come on, you'll be okay. And just helps her up, and all of a sudden she's better. And we get this confusion because we think, well, we need to say the words, and Jesus has to yell it out, or, you know, we have to make sure we're doing all these different things, anointing with oil. And Jesus just walks up and goes, no, just get up. You're fine. And she is. She's healed. And we look at this and we go, that's amazing. Is that like daily in the life of Jesus that he just walks around saying, no, we're not doing that. And then moving on. It just seems so nonchalant. And it's because he's living a life. And what happens then? Night comes and they're at the house still and people are bringing their sick to be healed. Demon possessed people are being freed. Jesus did his thing all night long, blessing these people. But then we get this other aspect of Jesus starting in verse 35. Jesus wakes up before the sun comes out, and Jesus leaves to be alone. And why did he go? He went to pray. He went to talk to God, to talk to his Father. Jesus knows the importance of spending one-on-one time with God, but he also knows that people are going to want to talk to him. They're going to want to see him, to be touched by him, to be healed by him. But to do that, he needs to find his strength in one place and one place alone, and that is in God. His human body gets tired. His human body gets sick. And he's saying, God, you sustain me alone. So Jesus heads out and he prays. And some of the disciples, they get up and they realize Jesus is gone. And when they find Jesus, they have the audacity to say, dude, where you been? We're all looking for you. You're needed. Come on. Obviously, Jesus knew they were going to look for him. That's why he went away in the early morning. He wanted to make sure that no one was going to interrupt his time with God. And then after that time with God, Jesus takes his disciples, and they go to all the nearby villages, and they keep preaching, and they're driving out demons, and they're doing their awesome, cool things. But it brings up the question, so what does all this mean? What's happening here that's important? What does this have to do with us today? Those are great questions. I'm so glad that you asked. Thank you. That's very important. But what's happening here is Jesus has a new home base. God has put Jesus in this area called Capernaum. And we see Jesus does a lot here. He does a lot of work, a lot of teaching, a lot of just living. I know when we read these things here in the Bible, it seems quick. We went over through these verses in like 3 minutes. It didn't take long. But what you're seeing here is a few days worth of things that are happening. When we don't read about what's going on, do you think Jesus is just staring at a wall? No! He's living his life. He's out there doing day-to-day operations. He had friends to visit, family to talk to, work to do, church. He went to church. He had ministry that he was keep going. There's so much that had to be done. This was not just Jesus showing up, saying a few things, and leaving. This is where he stayed. This is where God has put Jesus to live his life and do his ministry. And we see a few things in that that just reflect in our lives. First thing is Jesus went to church. Nobody here can understand that. We're all sitting here now. It's the same thing. Except he went to the synagogue. And then he used one of his greatest gifts for the people. And you may be thinking, driving out demons. No, that's not the greatest gift. The greatest gift is his preaching. He spoke the word of God in a way that changed lives. It wasn't driving out the demons where people were like, wow, this guy speaks with authority. No, it was before that. It was in the way that he brought the word of God to the people. Jesus was serving. Now, Jesus obviously does the above and beyond, and he's casting out demons. And now you may not have a demon possession exorcism ministry, okay? If that's you, I'm curious. I'd love to hear how that works and what's happening there. But for many of us here, it's the same thing. So this is your church. You are the church body. You are servants of Christ. This is your synagogue. Serve as Jesus did. Use the talents that God has given you. This is where you've been planted by God. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening online. That's why you hear it on the radio and you say, yes, I love what Buckeye's doing. I love to build the kingdom of God right here. And then you need to work in the name of God. There are so many different moving pieces of the puzzle right here. But most importantly, the more people get involved, the more God will use you to change people's lives. When all of us are working together, when all of us are trying to do the vision of reaching those who are far from God, that's when you're going to see a huge change. And then we see Jesus goes to his friend's house in verse 29. He knows Simon well. He knows this family and this whole household. We see that Jesus goes and cares for Simon's mother-in-law. Now again, Jesus is Jesus, and he has her healed immediately, and she resumes her life, but we need to take this and see that Jesus took time for the people that were placed in his life. He took time to love on people who were not his family. He was there to help take care of Simon's mother-in-law. We become so distracted by our lives that we do not take time to love those around us in our lives. I'm going to tell you, if you think you are busy and you say, I just don't have time for that, Jesus was busier than you, okay? He had a lot more he had to do in his time here than you were doing. And I'm going to tell you, if you think, well, my work is more important than Jesus, we'll talk, okay? We'll talk later. But Jesus understands it's about the people being there and helping those that God has put in your life. I know I am a busy man myself, but for those whom God has put in my life, I have tried to make time to love those people, to care for those people that God has put in my path. Are there times where I fall short? Of course. But it's one of those things we have to recognize and say, oh, maybe God has me talking to this person for a reason. I know sometimes we don't want to talk to certain people and we're like, God, can I move on from these people? Okay, that's not always how it is. I'm sure Jesus felt that way too. He was like, okay, these people are not getting it. Okay, it's one of those things. They're in your life for a reason. And then lastly, we look at verses 35 through 37, and we have to follow this example. Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is fully human and fully God at the same time, he had to make sure that he made one-on-one time with God. Yes, Jesus is doing lots of work in Capernaum. He has thousands that want his attention, his love, and care. But Jesus knew that his strength comes from God. If you want to know the direction of what you are to do in your life, even for in that day, you have to make time to go to God and be alone with him. Not just 10 minutes while the TV is on in the background and you're watching your favorite show. No. Not when your kids are asking you 1,000 questions, okay? If you're sitting here and you're praying, I'm going to tell you right now, when that kid comes in with the third question, you're already like, what? Okay, what do you need from me? There's a reason Jesus went away. And he went away in the morning before everyone else was up because he knew he could get that alone time. And then lastly, make sure that you are not just going to God while you're working. Too often we're distracted by our work and we say, oh, well, this will be my one-on-one time with God. And we start reading or praying or praising and then the phone rings or someone has a question or you have a thought in your head. You're like, oh, wait, I got to take care of this real quick. No, it's the moments that you spend completely on him. I know for me, that's really hard because my work and my prayer life and everything, they fold in together. But even God has said to me, no, John, your work is here. Your personal relationship with me is here. Take the time to be strong in me. Again, if you think you're busy and that everyone needs and wants your attention, remember that Jesus snuck away before the sun came up. Now, I am not a morning person. You will not see me getting up before the light's out. You know, it'll still be dark and that's when I'll sneak away at night. But that's what we need to do, is find that time. And then when the people that were looking for Jesus found him and they say, finally, we've been looking everywhere for you. Jesus didn't say, go away, I'm doing my God time. No, he made sure he had that time first, and then he went. So what does it look like to have that time with God? Well, you can go to him in prayer, talk to him, sing praises to him. That's my favorite thing to do. Study the Bible, study his word right here. We're doing all those things at the same time. It's okay to spend those moments with God. Make sure that you're always making time with God. Now we're going to look at two more stories that happen in Capernaum, and so we're going to turn over to Mark 2:1-17. And these are two separate stories, so we will also break these down as well. Mark 2:1-17, it says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why did this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And then verse 13, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him and began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." So I love this first line that we read, because it shows that this is where God has put Jesus. It says, when Jesus came back to Capernaum, after he was done preaching and teaching in the towns and villages nearby, it says that the people saw that he had come home. This was his home. And he had a home base. And they knew that this was his home. But again, we see Jesus as a very sought-after man. There were many that gathered around him. There were so many that there was no room left. No room inside the building, no room outside the doors, meaning people are just squashed into this house, filling it from top to bottom, and it is all to hear Jesus preach. Well, some of them came for that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But one group of friends had a friend who was paralyzed, and they could not get to Jesus. So what did they do? They dig through the roof. They open it up, and they lower the man down through this roof right in front of Jesus. That had to be quite a scene itself. These friends of this paralyzed man knew that Jesus is the answer, and they were going to make it happen. The crowds would not stop them. Judgment from others was not going to stop them. And you may be saying, well, how do you know there was judgment? Because I've been around people. If somebody is pushing others out of the way, they're carrying a paralyzed man, and then they start ripping a roof off? What do you think people are going to say? What are you doing? Why are you destroying this place? What's happening here? Who do they think they are that they're so important that they can just rip a roof off? Of course there was judgment, because it's weird, okay? Flat out, it is a weird thing to do. Like, my first instinct isn't, I can't get to Jesus. Well, let's tear the roof off. Let's do it. Like, no. But that's what they knew they had to do. The only thing that mattered was getting to Jesus. Jesus sees this man lowered in front of him. And Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now remember, I said that not all came to hear Jesus' preaching. It says some teachers of the law, they came as well. But they're not there to learn. They're there to trap Jesus, to see what all this noise is about, to see what this new rabbi is teaching, that everybody wants to follow him. And now they're hearing Jesus say that he can forgive sins. And they say, "No, that makes no sense. Only God can forgive sins." You would think they might sit back and go, "Oh, okay, so only God can forgive sins. We've heard the amazing things that he can do. This man named Jesus is claiming to be the Son of God, and now he's forgiving sins, so is he God?" No, that's not their thought process at all. No, their thought process is, "You're evil! You're from the devil! You're a sinner, a blasphemer! You're telling lies!" And Jesus knows their hearts. And so what does he do? Jesus challenges them. And he goes, "Okay, so is it easier, is it better for me to say your sins are forgiven to this paralyzed man? Or is it easier and better for me to say, well, just get up, take your mat and walk, you paralyzed man?" And Jesus goes, "Okay, well, I chose my words for a reason, whether you like it or not." Jesus says, "I want you to know that the Son of Man, the Savior, the Messiah, has all authority on earth to forgive sins." Again, Jesus is pointing at himself and going, "I can do this. I am the Son of God. I am the one that you've been waiting for." Jesus is pulling a power move here. He's saying, "I am the one that's foretold. Look at it. See it." He's saying, "I was sent by God." And so he looks at the paralyzed man and says, "Pick up your mat and go home." And again, the man just grabs his mat and walks out. And everybody is just amazed. And it says that they're starting to praise God and going, "What is happening? We've never seen anything like this. We've never heard preaching like this before. This is awesome." And again, you would think the Jewish leaders would then sit back and say, after the man got up and, you know, they know he's paralyzed, they would look at themselves and go, "Well, okay, that shut me up." No, they didn't say that. That's not what they're doing. They're saying, "This is all from the devil." But what we get from this is we have to follow God first. We have to live for him. We need to speak truth, even when people are beating you down, calling you a hypocrite, calling you a liar. You go out there and you live for God and speak truth. And then this last thing hits very hard in our lives. We have a tendency, as followers of Christ, to surround ourselves only with followers of Christ. We find our happy little group and we agree with these people and we get along and we see eye to eye on so many different things, and then we can become afraid to be seen with or associate with others who are not living for God. Yes, you should not do as they're doing, the sinful things that they're doing. Don't do those things, but you should not be putting them at arm's length and saying, "Ooh, you're a sinner. I can't be seen with you." No, we're to go to them and bring truth and hope to them. Not by beating them over the head with the Word of God. "Well, let me hit you with some scripture that's going to knock you down." No, because that's not what Jesus did. He didn't sit down and say, "Okay, everybody, listen up. You're about to get a hard learning from the Bible." No, he didn't say anything like that. No, Jesus sat down to have a meal with them. He associated with them. He treated them as people, not as sinners and tax collectors, but as people who are lost. And we have to follow this example. God has you where you are in your life right now. Where you work, where you live, where you eat, the places you visit, you run into the same people over and over again. This is your home base. Jesus had a home base just like us, a place to live, a place to serve, a place to glorify God. And we need to do the same where God has put us. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. Because you're exactly where God wants you to be. And it is time for you to serve Him in all aspects of your life. That means serving Him at your church, going to your friends and the people around you and making time. When people are there to tear you down and question you, you're going to keep living for God and making sure that no matter who comes into your life, that you're going to put God first. No matter what they say to you, no matter what you are struggling with, no matter what is happening, you're going to serve Him first. And those people that you see are living a life not for God, you're going to love them. You're going to eat with them. You're going to be with them. And then lastly, wherever God has put you, you have to make time to be with God alone. Just you and Him, one-on-one. We need to take this example that Jesus has given us in Capernaum and live that way in our lives today. Remember, we read these amazing things that He's done. You also can do amazing things where God has put you. Make sure you are not missing those opportunities to spread the good news, the gospel, and then also spend that one-on-one time with Him.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.